Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, just a little psalm, five verses. The title in my Bible is a psalm of praise or a psalm of thanksgiving. It's the only one of the 150 psalms that has that title. And so it's appropriate that we consider the message this time of year. This is a psalm that the Jews would sing as they went toward the temple. They would either sing it as individuals or they would sing it as a group. They would sing it as they walked toward the temple. They would sing it as they got to the gate. And it has two calls to thanksgiving. And then each of those calls is followed by a reason why we should be grateful to the Lord. So look at the first one. It's in verse 1 where it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Now, I'm glad that verse, Brother Louis, says, "Make a joyful noise." I'm glad it doesn't say that we have to sing on key or stay in tune or be musically correct and know all that stuff. It just says that we need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All of us can do that. I mean, we shout when our football team scores a touchdown. We shout when our baseball team hits a home run. We shout for different things that, interest us. Why shouldn't we shout about the Lord? Why shouldn't we shout our thanks to him? Why shouldn't we make a joyful noise? They did it. The Jews did it when they went into the temple because they felt joy. I mean, they looked forward into going to the Lord's house, and they felt joy going there. That ought to be our feeling when we come here. Now, we ought to come because it's right. We ought to come because the Lord commands us to come. In Hebrews chapter 10, 25, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Kelly mentioned tonight that a lot of churches are closed tonight. And that's their prerogative. Sheraton Road had their service on Tuesday night. Maybe some other churches did that. But there's so many churches that are closing doors on Wednesday night and Sunday night and not having service. And I'm grateful for the folks that come to our church on Sunday night because they don't have a place to go. But we ought to be grateful and have joy when we come to this place. It ought not to be a drudgery. We ought not to come just because of our duty. We ought not to come just because we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We ought to come because we look forward to it. I don't know about you, but when I miss church on Sunday, it messes up my whole week. I don't know what day it is. And so we ought to come to this place with a feeling of joy, and we ought to make a joyful noise. Again, I don't claim to be much of a singer. I praise God for the talent that God has put in this church. But I can make a joyful noise. I can make a noise, and I want to make it unto the Lord. And notice the psalmist invites everybody to join in. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And everybody ought to join in to the praise of the Lord. Then look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The psalmist doesn't separate worship from service. They're the two heads of the same coin. They go together, worship and service. Praise without service is empty. I mean, people that don't serve God but praise him, you have to wonder how much their praise really means. I mean, like the book of James says, faith without works is dead. Well, worship without service is kind of empty. And then service without worship turns into work. I mean, if you're serving the Lord without loving him, and by the way, that's what the word worship means, to direct our love toward the Lord. If we're serving him without that love for him, pretty soon it's going to turn into work. We ought to serve him because we love him. We ought to serve him because of the great God that he is. Come before his presence with singing. Every time in the Bible, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, that God pulls back the curtain of heaven and lets us look into heaven, what do we see? We see angels and saints gathered around the throne singing praises to God, praising him. Now, it seems to me, if that's what we're going to do in heaven, we ought to get used to it down here. If that's what we're going to spend eternity doing, we ought to get in practice while we're down here. Make us feel a whole lot better as well. And so that's what's going to happen in heaven. We're going to come before his presence with singing, and we ought to do the same thing here on earth. We just need to get into practice. Now, verse 3 tells us why. Why we ought to make a joyful noise. Why we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. Why we ought to come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now, there's some other things in the rest of the verse that we'll talk about in just a minute, but they're just icing on the cake. This is the reason why we ought to make a joyful noise. This is the reason that we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. This is the reason that we ought to come before his presence with singing, because the Lord, he is God. He created everything. He sustains everything. In other words, he holds it all together. The book of Colossians tells us that. He is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. He is omniscient, which means he knows everything. He is omnipresent, which means that he can be at the same place or be at different places at the same time. He is everywhere. And he is worthy of our praise because of who he is. Brother Gene, whenever Brother Gene prays, every time he prays, if you just stop and listen, and I hope you listen when other people pray, I'm encouraged. I mean, I can just about tell you from a lot of people what they always include in their prayers when they pray, and you could too if you would listen. Brother Gene, when he prays, always says something like this: "Thank you, Lord, for who you are. We praise you for who you are." That's what the psalmist is saying here. We ought to come before his presence and praise him because of who he is. Now, there are some other things in verse 3 that, again, are just icing on the cake. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. God made us. He created us. Say, I wasn't created, I was born. You wouldn't be here if God didn't want you here. You're here because God wants you. He made you. He put you in the home that he wanted you to be in. He put you in life circumstances that he wanted you to be in. He has made you who you are today. I hear people talk about all the time, say, well, I'm a self-made man. Well, no, you're not. God made you the way he wanted you to be. And we are what we are because of God. Everything we have is because of God, as Brother Jack saying ago, because of Calvary. Again, that's not the reason why we should thank God. I mean, it's true. He made us. He made us who we are. The reason we should thank God is because who God is. But he did make us. And then it says, we are his people. We belong to him. As Christians, we belong to him. Actually, everybody belongs to him. Sinners don't know it. I mean, they're going to die and go to hell and spend eternity and never fulfill the reason for which they were made. They were made to be God's people. God made everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't believe these jokers that tell you God made some people to be saved and some people to be lost. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says God made everybody with a soul that's going to live forever, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. People go to hell not because of God's fault. They go to hell because of their own fault. They reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are his people. He made us and he redeemed us. He bought us. I like to tell the story about that little boy that built that little bitty sailboat. He took it out to a lake and put it on the water, and it sailed away from him. He lost his little boat. A couple days later, he's walking by a toy store. He looked in the window. There was his little boat. He went in to talk to the owner of the toy store. He said, "Mister, you have my little toy boat in your window." He said, "No, that's not yours. Another young man came in and sold that to me." He said, no, that's my boat. If you go look at the bottom, it's got my initials carved and painted in the bottom." And sure enough, the toy store owner went over to the window, looked at the boat, and sure enough, it had his initials carved and painted in the bottom of the boat. And the boy said, I want my boat back. And the toy store owner said, "I'd love to give it back to you, son, but I paid a little boy for it. If you want it back, you got to pay for it." little boy said, "Well, how much is it? How much is it?" And the toy store owner gave him a price. He said, "I don't have the money, but would you save it for me?" And he went home and did some extra chores, cut some neighbor's grass, made enough money, went back a few days later and bought his boat back. And as he was walking out of the toy shop, he was talking to his little boat. He said, little boat, you're mine twice. I made you and I bought you. Listen, that's what Jesus can say to us. I made you and I bought you. You're mine. You're mine twice. I made you and I bought you. Isn't it sad that people reject the one that made them and bought them? Isn't it sad that they say no to Jesus Christ? And notice the last thing. And the sheep of his pasture. He takes care of us. He leads us beside the still waters. He makes us lay down in the green pastures. He makes sure that we have what we need. Not everything we want. We don't need everything we want. God gave us everything we want. Most of us, if not all of us, would be in a heap of trouble. God keeps those things away from us that we want, that he knows we don't need, will mess us up. But everything that we need, he makes sure we have. And that's a load of benefits. Just a couple Psalms over in Psalm 103, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now, none of those three things are why we should praise God. None of those three things are why we should make a joyful noise or serve him or come before his presence with singing. The reason we ought to do that is because he is God. He is God. That's the only reason that we need to praise him. That's the only reason that we need to thank him. That's the only reason that we need to come before his presence with singing. He is God. The fact that he made us, the fact that we are his people, and the fact that we are the sheep of his pasture, all those are good things. All those are wonderful things. But that's not the reason why we should thank him and praise him. We ought to thank him and praise him for who he is. He is God. So, the first call to thanks, make a joyful noise. Why? Because the Lord's God. Now, look at the second call to thanks in verse 4. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." I can just picture as a throng of worshipers come before the temple. As they're about to enter the door, one of them calls out, "Let's just praise the Lord. Before we go in, let's just praise the Lord. We're going in. We're going into the gates. Let's go in with thanksgiving. Let's go in with a song on our lips, a song on our mind, a song on our heart." I don't know what they sung. I mean, I think if it was us, we might sing, "Praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins, he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Praise him, Jesus, the crucified. Sound his praises. Jesus, who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him. Tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song." Then verse 5. Here's why we should do that. "For the Lord is good." "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." So why should we enter his gates with thanksgiving? Why should we enter his courts with praise? Why should we be thankful unto him and bless his name? First of all, because he's a good God. He's good. Book of James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is good. He's the source of everything good in our life. Again, as Brother Jack sang a moment ago, everything that we have is because of the Lord and because of Calvary. Then notice what it says. His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad God's mercy is everlasting? Aren't you glad it doesn't have a limit? Aren't you glad it doesn't expire? Aren't you glad it's not only good for a month or 2 months or a year or 2 years? Aren't you glad that God's mercy is everlasting? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Most of us tonight are saved, but most of us tonight are still sinners. And if we got what we deserved, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. I'd rather fix my mind on the fact that God's mercy is everlasting. I mean, his everlasting mercy is what's going to get us into heaven. His everlasting mercy is it made us one of his children. His everlasting mercy forgave us for our sins. It's everlasting. God's never going to get to the point. He said, well, I've forgiven your sins for 10,000 years. Now it's time to pay the price. Never going to happen, because his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Here's his truth. Amen. Always been his truth. And it's going to last forever. It has been around forever, and it will be around forever. Some people, I've had people ask me, preacher, do you think we're going to read the Bible in heaven? Yes, I do. I think we're going to have the Bible in heaven, because his truth is everlasting. It's not going to go away. I think the Bible, I mean, Brother Jeff was talking about how he was so blessed by reading the Bible. Just think, when we get to read the Word of God in the presence of the Word of God. Just think about how good that's going to be. Just think when we read about something that Abraham did and we don't quite understand it. And we can say, hey, Mr. Abraham, can I ask you this question? I just don't understand what exactly happened here. Could you tell me? Just think when we read something about the Apostle Paul and when we don't quite understand something that he said, we can say, hey, Paul, would you expound on this a little bit? The Word of God's everlasting. We're going to have it in heaven. It's going to be so much richer, so much fuller, so much more blessed. And by the way, I say the same thing about the Word of God that I say about praising the Lord and singing. That's what we're going to do in heaven. Might as well get in practice while we're down here. Might as well read the Bible every day. Might as well bathe in the Bible every day. Might as well discover the things in the Bible every day. That's what we're going to do in heaven. Might as well get used to it. Don't have to wait to heaven to start. We can start right now. So, praise him. Praise him. Not because of what he's done. I mean, yes, we ought to thank him and we ought to be grateful for what he's done. But you know, there may come times in our life when it seems like God isn't doing anything. There may come times in our life when it doesn't seem like our prayers are getting past the ceiling. Does that mean we should stop thanking God because he doesn't seem to be doing anything for us? No. We need to praise him for who he is. Amen. That doesn't change. He doesn't change. I am the Lord, I change not, the Bible says. And whether he's doing good stuff, and by the way, he's going to do good stuff for us. He can't help it. He's such a good God. Amen. He's going to do good stuff for us. And we ought to be grateful. But if it seems like he doesn't, and if he decided, hey, I'm not going to do anything good for anybody else the rest of their life, we still have enough to praise God for all eternity. Amen. For what he's done for us and sending Jesus to die for us. So be grateful. Praise him. Come before his presence with singing. Enter his courts with praise, for he is a good God. And we need to be thankful, not only tomorrow on Thanksgiving, but we need to be thankful every day of the year, because God is God every day of the year. Thank you for being here tonight. Well, let's stand, we'll have a word of prayer, and be dismissed.